1 Corinthians chapter 9 comes before 2 Corinthians, after Romans. There we are. Chapter 9, verse 24. Good question to begin with. Do you not know? There's a message in itself. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? So, run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Running the race well. Every 4 years, an event takes place and it captures the attention of the whole world. What is it? The Olympics. The International Olympics. And it's going to take place this year. I cannot believe that 4 years has gone by since London. I can't. And does anybody know where it's going to happen, take place? Brazil. Rio. Rio de Janeiro. And billions, not just a few millions, billions of people are going to watch it throughout the whole world. They're going to watch it. I actually looked up some statistics about the 2012 London Olympics, and this is what I found yesterday. 4 years ago, in the London Olympics, from just the 27th of July until the 12th of August, a matter of 16 days, athletes numbering 10,820 athletes gathered together in London from 204 different nations. They competed. How many medals do you think they competed for? Just under 1,970 medals. I wonder if you were reading my website. I also read that there were 500 different TV stations. They broadcast the Olympics to, now how they get these figures I don't know, but 4.8 billion people. 4.8 billion people. And someone, now this is taking maths silly, someone worked out that there were, listening to the BBC TV broadcasting alone, there were 102.5 million people listening to it every minute. 102.5 million people watching the Olympics. So this year again, actually they think last year's numbers watching are the greatest it's been. This year there's going to be billions of people again watching. What they're going to watch? They're going to watch their favorite athlete or their favorite team compete in order to try to get what? A gold medal. I just remembered I forgot my visual aid. Right. I did. Yes. I bet you'll not guess what it was. No. A chocolate. No. No, no. All of us, or lots of people, will look with pride as their team or the individual stands up to receive the honours. And the anthem of that country is played. I think all of us actually love to see our nation winning medals. I think, but few of us actually really understand the price that these athletes paid in order to be there. All right? Years and years of rigorous training. Getting up at the crack of dawn if you're a runner to go running when everybody is snoozing under the quilt. The hardships they went through. The discipline in order to train. Why? In order that they might be able to compete in the Olympic Games and hopefully do what? Win. Get a medal. Get a prize. Now, where am I going with this? You know, don't you? The same goes for each of us who are believers. All right? The same goes for us in the Christian arena, in our Christian lives. That's the sort of commitment that's required by us as believers in Jesus to run the race that God's called us to. Just like an athlete. That's what Paul's saying. He's underlining that. That's what really this race is all about. You see, without the right training, without the right discipline in your own life, without the right sacrifices, the victory to live the Christian life will always be just out of reach. It will. You'll feel depressed. You'll feel defeated. You'll feel disillusioned, disappointed, because you're not reaching what you believe and where you believe God wants you to reach. There can be a sense of that. Now, the Apostle John wrote in his first letter, chapter 5, in verse 4, he said, and I think it's a wonderful promise about running the race, for whoever, it doesn't say for a small number, it says forever, for whoever is born of God overcomes the world. So if we're born of God, we're born again of the Spirit of God, we can actually be victorious. That's what he's saying. We can overcome the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. That's how we overcome our faith. Our faith in this great God that we started off talking about. All right? Not our great faith, but faith in our great God. So a faith helps us towards victory. Now, does anybody here know, I bet you'll be surprised, does anybody here know the Greek word for victory? Somebody may be wearing some. Nikes. Nike. All right? Nike is from the Greek, which means victory. So you're running in your victory trainers. All right? It's this word Nike is a root word. And we actually have lots of words that mean victory. We have success. We have overcoming. We have be an overcomer. We have be a winner. And it all comes in the Greek from this root word, Nike. So it would be great to walk round to somebody today, this week, and say, have you got Nike? Have you got victory in your Christian life? Are you walking in victory? And today I want us to look at just probably two out of these four verses. Because as always, things can go on. All right? Messages, Lee. Okay, she's saying things. Okay? And I thought, even before today, I'm going to look at just the two verses, all right, of how Paul describes how we can run the race. I want to know how to run the race. Do you want to know how to run the race? Do you want to know how to run the race well? Yeah? 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 Good. How to be an overcomer. How to be victorious. Rambabu. Not got him in my notes. An Indian guy. Great evangelist. I remember hearing him about 15 years ago down in Brighton. Wow. And he wrote a book all about being victorious, all about being an overcomer. Let me encourage you. Find it. All right. Read it. I think I've still got my copy. Now, this passage, 1 Corinthians 9, it's written against the backdrop, not of Olympic Games. It's against the backdrop of what they call the Isthmian Games that were held in Corinth. All right? It's the equivalent of our modern day Olympics to some extent. Now, this event was actually held every 2 years, not every four. And it was about 10 miles from the outside of the city of Corinth. And these games brought people together from every part of the Mediterranean region. And it brought people together to compete and for people to be able to watch those competing as well. It was the sporting event of the 2 years. And it drew the empire's best talented athletes to do that. And they would compete, I read, in foot races, broad jumping, discus throwing, wrestling, boxing, gymnastics, and equestrian contests, horses. Okay? That's what they competed in. It said the competition was fierce. It was fierce. And each athlete, strove? Yeah, strove. Sounds strange, doesn't it? Strove. Lots of S's in there. All right. They each strove for this crown, the Isthmian crown. And do you know what it was? And this is where my visual aid would have come in. Let me give you a clue. It was a vegetable made from a vegetable. Any ideas? Pardon? A crown made from, it was a wreath, a crown made from pumpkins. No, good answer. An olive branch, even better answer, but no. Pardon? Carrot. Same shape, but not a carrot. Parsnip? No. Turnips? No. I love it. Yeah, I'll give you a clue. You dip it in salt, maybe. Celery. Yes, a wreath of wild celery. That's what the prize was. The winner of the Isthmian Games got a wreath of wild celery. So when he was running home, what could he do? I have a, that's it. Pull it out. Chew on the old celery. Okay? They thought of everything in those places. So they got this wreath of celery, right? Listen to the other rewards. Winners also received a lifetime exemption from paying taxes and serving in the military. Winners would also receive free tuition at one of the universities of their choice. There would be statues of the winners erected along the road that led to the site of the games. You'd be up there with your reef of celery. You'd be up there. All right? On your head. All right? But the real prize, we joke about it, the real prize that they longed to get was this wreath of celery. This crown of celery. Awarded to the winner at the end of the games. Now, what principles does Paul outline in this short passage. Now, these are the points. Right? That's just been a preamble. These are the three points. Firstly, in order to run a race, in order to run the race, what's the first thing you've got to do? No. Well, yes. Yes, we'll get to that in 2 points later. You could get, you ready? You gotta start. Before you can race, yeah, you gotta train. Okay. Before you race, you've actually got to actually begin the race. This is what Paul says in verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? So, run in such a way. So he's saying, the first thing you've got to do is to run in the race. Run in the race. So to run in the race, you've first got to begin it. You've got to begin it. What's the slogan? You all, 4 points for the Greek word for victory. You all got that? Nike. What's the sportswear slogan? Just do it. Say to each other, just do it. Just do it. Okay? Now say, the race of life. Just do it. Yeah. See? Just do it. Start the race. You see, there's no way you're going to win a race if you don't actually enter. You'll never win a race unless you actually enter. So you've actually got to get into the spiritual race. Now, how do we do that as Christians? How do we do it? We give our lives to Jesus. All right? We actually, but we get moved in our thinking to believe in God. And believe what God says in this word about God and about our condition and our situation. What is our situation before we get in the race? Pardon? We're condemned. We're sinners, meaning we have sinned before God. We've done things against God, maybe other people, but primarily God, that need to be dealt with. So what have we got to do in order to get that sin moved? Repent. What does repent mean? Turn away from it. But that's something before that. Acknowledge our sin, but it's still there. That sin can still be there. We can acknowledge it and we can repent of it, but repent. What's the solution? Believe in Jesus that he died on the cross for my sin. The stuff that separated me from God, Jesus died for it. The penalty of sin is death. If it's not Jesus' death, it's my death. And so I say, Jesus, I'm going to believe that you died on the cross for these sins. I repent afterwards. I turn away from these. Right? But the first thing is, I need somebody, Jesus, to be the sin bearer for me. Otherwise, I'm still going to carry them. And so we believe in Jesus. We believe the promise that God forgives us, that God cleanses our hearts, going the wrong way, cleanses our hearts, and then we can then begin the race. That's how we begin the race. No point entering the race of life, the spiritual walk with God, unless we've got that in our hearts. It's a non-starter. All right? It's a non-starter. So we need to compete. The second thing in this verse is, first thing is getting the race. Getting the race. The second thing is, we need to not just start running, we need to keep running. See, lots of people, crusades are all about really getting people to start running or encourage them while they are running. But it's not enough just to start running and stop. God wants us to keep running. Has anybody ever been to your children or grandchildren's sports day? It's absolutely marvelous. And that doesn't mean smiling when the kids fall. I see that, Jeff. All right. When they set off, the kids, when the gun goes or the flag goes down or the whistle goes, however they start these massive children running down the field, the children set off. And then mum or dad or grandma and granddad do something fatal when they're running. What do? They wave. And kids, particularly boy kids, can't do two things. So they go. It's wonderful. Okay. It is. They stop running. Marina and Phil, you'll enjoy this when Jacob does his first race. Don't shout his name. Okay, because he'll stop. Hey, hi, Jacob. Because if you do, he'll stop. And he'll stop sooner if he's a boy. Even though he doesn't know he can't do two things at once. All right. And so they do. And some people, some Christians are like that. They stop running. And we've got to keep running. We've got to run in such a way as to get the prize. Let me ask you a question. Are you moving ahead in your Christian life? Nobody's going to commit themselves. Yes, okay. I'm glad somebody said yes, duck out thing. Yeah. How do you know that? How do you know that? She's turning up here on a Sunday. How else? How do you know it? Right, okay. So, isn't that wonderful? Challenges are good. Because, don't hear me wrongly, challenges are good because you trust God, take hold of this great God, and go through the challenges. How else do you know? It's all about, yeah, feelings do help. You're making time. You're making time for God. God's realer. Now, yeah, it can be like this sometimes, but God's realer. You're excited. All right? We've got to pursue the race. We've got to be determined when we run the race. People will say, go for it. Go for it. Keep going. Keep going for it. How are we to do that? Well, you've got to be willing constantly to take action upon what you read in God's word, what God's word tells you to do, what you hear from God. If it requires action, keep acting on it. All right? Daily. Be willing to change your attitude about people and things. So actions, yes. Attitudes, yes. Be open to change. And then, with all that, keep advancing. I'm going on with God. You never get the sense of idea that God wants us to stand still. Okay? He wants us to advance. So there's three A's for you. Action. Advance. Number three. Two. Attitude. Action. Attitude. Advance. Advance. Keep that. Ready for the change. Now, the interesting thing. The value of the prize in this Ithmian, I have to think about the written word to say it properly, the Ithmian races wasn't a monetary thing. It wasn't finances. You could go out and pick and make your own wreath of celery. Maybe you might like to do that at home. Make your... No, okay. What are you running for? What are you running your race of life for? What's the purpose of it in your life? We have to ask ourselves these questions. Or just wake up. Then why am I doing this? Why am I still following God? To win the prize. And Paul actually speaks of this prize. Now he wasn't going to get a wreath of wild celery. What was he going to get? What will we get from God? We don't get eternal life. We got it. Okay? As soon as you believe, you've got it. It's a fallacy. You get it when you're dead. All right? It begins when you believe, really. If you're going to get eternal life, it's just a hiccup. Death. Probably good a hiccup as well. Because, hey, I'm going to get a new body, and you all think, great! And it's going to look good. All right, maybe not. Okay, but it's just a blip. That's all death is, according to the writers like Paul. This is what he says about this race. He says in Philippians 3, can I encourage you to read the whole of Philippians 3? But verse 14 says this. He says, I press on. I press on towards the goal. For the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's what I'm going for. I'm not going for gold. I'm going for Jesus. I'm pressing on. And God's going to say, when we meet God, when we die. I did a funeral on Friday. And I spoke. I managed to get 3 points in the funeral address. Would you believe that? John 14, peace promised, I go and prepare a place for you. The next one was a peace promised, a place prepared, and, oh yes, a path to follow, when Jesus says, I am the way and the truth. All right. I press on. And when we die and meet with God and we're walking with God, I'm just looking forward for Jesus to say to me, Andy, well done, you good and faithful servant. I saw you running, beginning, the middle. What a mess you made. But no. He'll say, I saw you running. You were faithful. The third thing. 7 minutes. The third thing I need to run the race is I need to prepare to run the race. Fancy going in a marathon when you haven't done any preparation. It'd be killer, wouldn't it? So the athletes prepared themselves. There is a key word in verse 25. The idea is to be self-controlled. It's to be disciplined. That's where we get this word disciple from. They weren't short of words. They were chosen by Jesus very carefully. A disciple is one who is disciplined. And this idea of self-control, what does it speak of? It actually speaks of inner strength and inner determination to follow God. We're not press-ganged into it. It's this inner strength and determination to say no to the things that aren't helpful. All right? Don't let them control you. Be self-controlled. Now, there is a word that Paul uses in verse 25. It's the word compete. Do you know how it can be translated? Agony. Agony. And it seems to me he's really got the idea of what the Christian life's about. It can be. It can be agony. Yeah, it can be really enjoyable and wonderful, but sometimes it's agony because of the turmoil, sometimes the fight that we have inside to do what's not of God sometimes. So there's an agony. And so there's got to be an incredible effort. There's got to be single-mindedness in order to be victorious, to be an overcomer. Now, self-control, where is it mentioned by Paul in Galatians 5? Do you know? The fruit of the Spirit. And so self-control comes from who? Comes from Jesus. But, so the presence of self-control in our lives comes from Jesus. But the outworking of it, the practice of self-control in our lives is whose responsibility? Ours. See these fruit of the Spirit that we get them from God, but we have the responsibility to use them and apply them, whatever they are. All right. So that's the presence and the practice of something like self-control. If we want to win, we've got to prepare. So I'm going to finish in a minute. I'm going to finish, right? Running the race. What's the first thing we've got to do? Start the race. So ask yourself this morning, am I in the race? Have I exercised this gift of faith in God to start running this race? All right? And only you can say that. Nobody looking at your life can say that. Just you. It's a personal faith about our sins and taking hold of the love of God and the promises of God. All right? So we start the race. The second thing, it's a P. Keep running. Okay. Pursue or keep running. All right? I'm trying to think of words that we start. I didn't have a P. The next thing is we pursue it. Keep going. Don't be like the kids. Okay? Who start waving because you say their name. All right? Keep going in the Christian life. When it gets bumpy, keep going. When you hit the brick wall, keep going. Smack. Okay? Keep going. Keep trusting. Keep trusting. It'll keep your faith alive. Don't let it die. Keep trusting. And then, before, sounds really back to front, really. If you want to do better in this race, I think I must have missed out three things that are helpful in our growth and pursuing God and preparing. One is praying. And you said, how do we know? Because our relationship with God is developing. All right? How do we do that? We do that through praying. If you want to build a relationship with anybody in the fellowship, I think Meals for Six are great. Because you're gonna be stuck at the table and you look across at them and you can talk about new potatoes and you can talk about, but sometimes you might need to get to the nitty gritty and say, why did you put those socks on today? Okay? All right? But it's fellowshipping with God. Fellowshipping with the church, his bride. That's what Meals for Six are just to allow to happen. All right? The second is God's word. Why is it there? It's to feed us. It's to feed us. It's to find us to find out about God. It's us to find out about ourselves. It's to find out the promises of God. So what? We can take hold of them and go for them. That's what God's word's for. And it's used for fighting, and you'll come back and say, oh, there's lots more things, and there is. All right. And finally, as we've sought to do this morning, worship. Worshipping God. Reminding yourself. We're not reminding God how great he is. Really? We're reminding ourselves. And we're responding to it. You are so great. You are so great, I can worship you. Worship, I think maybe we might need to have a few messages about worship. Because, whoa, the one we worship, God, it is so different to us. And yet he's actually said, come on, come on. He can come and we can relate together. And so praying and reading God's word and worshipping God, fellowshipping, just brings us, prepares us, brings us into strict training, but it's good. It's good. There's a purpose in it. Next time, oh, I forgot to say, Alistair Murdoch is coming the first Sunday in February to preach. First time I've ever, that I know of, that Alistair's come. I think it's going to be fantastic. All right? And if he actually preaches on 1 Corinthians 9, the last two verses of the verses I read, I'll be have to be thinking about something else. Because he's probably going to be a lot better than me. Okay. All right. But it'd be great. Be great. All right.